and they made for what Barrett now saw to be a very small harbour, with one similar boat in it. The engine was cut, as before, and we coasted in and alongside a low concrete arm in which were set rusty iron steps. The young man deftly took the rope and climbed up, pulling it through an iron ring. The boat stopped with a jerk and was then secured against the wall. The sea here was clear, unlike the harbour at Arcos, and Barrett could see the sand a few feet below him. Fish darted past and apparently out into the wide water of the Mediterranean. He stood uncertainly and climbed up after the pilot, who turned and offered him a hand. "Welcome to Elga," said the young man with an unmistakable Northern English accent. "Thank you." Just ahead of them was one of the houses. "You're expected up there," Simon suggested, but Barrett took his time to look out to sea, wondering if he could make out a coast on the far horizon. It was strange to be on an inland sea. Having been brought up on the south coast of England, he had always assumed that such stretches of water went on forever, getting colder and wilder. But this was enclosed, safe-seeming. Barrett turned back to the house. It was magnificently situated. A series of stone terraces led up from the harbour to its whitewashed walls. Trees pressed all around this side of the island, but Barrett could see...